The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to a Friday afternoon Dr. Hockey podcast. I am here with Sean Pronger. We are sitting in the Newport Beach office. Sean, how are you doing?
Doing fantastic. It's Friday afternoon.
You can't beat it.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I think the only thing we missed was a stop off down at the Gratitude.
Well, I stopped off there before.
Oh, good.
I had to grease the skids before I got up here.
Good call, man. You made it. I came direct from the Newport Beach office. Sorry, from the Beverly Hills office right over. So anyway, what we're going to do today is a section that I want to call Pronger's Picks. And having your NHL experience behind this discussion is really, it's crucial. I mean, Jason and I are...
Can we just let it be known that I'm 15 years removed?
you could be 50 years removed. You still play.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm still, like, it's been a decade and a half. Just, I want that on the record before anybody holds me to these picks.
We're not going to hold you to anything. But like, and by the way, we do know, good. Like, our, like, the picks change based on injuries, based on, I mean, we constantly try to predict.
Oh, okay, this is perfect.
Yeah, we're awful at it.
No. This is great. I can't lose.
This is for pure fun. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
But it is important to have the discussion because I think, you know, in the early part of the season right now, we are, and I just want to let everybody know, Dr. Jason will be Skyping in very shortly. He's finishing up his consultations and we're going to get his opinions as well. So we'll go
I
from
wish
there.
One day I'd like to be able to say that I'm finishing up my consultations.
There you go. Well, their med school takes 4 years and then there's a 7-year residency and then you're all set.
Is there like a med school for dummies type program?
No. I think there's one in
doubtful.
Guadalajara that might have your name on.
Yeah, there we go.
But even that one's, I'll tell you what, man, there's no easy med school. I don't care what country you're in. They really do grind you in med school.
That's probably a good thing.
It is. As we had Brett Ernst on, and he said, I think heckling is good in the medical world because we get pasted at our, what they're called, morbidity and mortality conference, where if you have big complications or deaths, you stand up in front of your peers and they grill you, the whole department. You know, if it's surgery or medicine, it doesn't matter. It's called M&M conference. And it is you think comedians get heckled? You ain't seen nothing until you're at an M&M conference.
That does not sound like a good time at all.
Well, I'm sure there's a version of that in hockey too.
Yeah, but not like that. Like usually it's a punch in the face. That sounds a lot better than what you go through there.
Well, what we've got today is I want to go through who you think are the top five teams right now, who's really doing well, who's not doing so well, and what you think. Coming out of the gates, we're only a week and a half basically into the season, but already I think there's some shocking surprises in the West. And this week we're going to do the West. Next week we'll do the East. So just from what you've seen, what is the most surprising thing about the early part of the season before we even get into the teams?
I mean, I think I mentioned it last week that I like this team, but probably the most surprising thing right now is that Las Vegas is 1-4.
Yeah.
You know, like with the players they brought in and the kind of way they played last year, I thought they'd at least start a little bit stronger. I mean, we're 5 games in, so I expect
True.
They'll be in the playoffs at the end of the season. But I would think that's a surprise. Chicago's looked good. I think overall the biggest surprise is how many goals around the league are being
oh
scored.
Oh, my God.
It is so fun. It is like the 80s out there again, which I think is great for hockey.
Yeah, I mean, the number of goals is crazy. And I can tell you, too, from the standpoint of, you know, I was listening to the Joe Maloof podcast from last year with Joe and Kevin Connolly. The Vegas Golden Knights were 7-1 when he came on the podcast at the beginning of the season. And this year, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah, it's a different season when you start like that.
Yes.
You know, things just seem to go your way a little more. It's when you start 1-4, 1-5, or like Phoenix was didn't win in the first 10 games last year. I mean, you're digging out of a hole in October, which is exhausting to try to do that. So, everybody talks about it, but you really do want to have a good start because you start feeling a little bit better about yourself. Things kind of fall your way. Sometimes you're going to go through stretches during the season where they don't go your way, but you know, early on, you kind of want to have the wind at your back and be able to, not have to dig out of a hole in late October.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that these points count the same as the points coming into the playoffs. There's no difference. Their points are points.
No, no, you're right. And usually it's the ones you know, piss away early on that come back to bite you in the ass.
Well, and that's the thing, is that these, and you look, the Coyotes have started off much better too. I mean, they had a few losses, and they beat the Ducks on Wednesday night in a shootout, which is great for them to get one under their belt. But I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights, I thought they'd come out, you know, roaring. And you know what? They still have a Stanley Cup hangover, I'm sure. They played all the way into June. So, you know, it's not surprising that they're probably pretty tired.
They've played some pretty good teams, too. I mean, they played the Caps, the Penguins. I mean, they've played some good teams.
And those teams are up to play the
Vegas
Golden
Knights. Again, we said that last week. They're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. They're a team that's, you know, gets everybody's attention now.
Yeah, they're contenders. And for sure, they are going to be looking at a very hard road throughout the year, I'm sure. So tell us about your top five teams. Who do you think right now in the West?
Let me just make sure I got all the teams on my list here. Okay, right now, the top five teams, this is not...
In the West.
In the West. You know, it's funny is... I'm going to say this right now, and I might get booed out of here, but even though I love Anaheim, they're 3-0-1, and I actually don't think they're in the top five right now.
I agree.
Just by the way they play, their goalie's playing awesome. And
Gibby's keeping them in it.
He is, and that's what you need. I mean, this is great. When, you know, when they get all their guys back, this is going to be a different conversation. But you know, just the way they're playing, I mean, they're setting themselves up for something bad to happen. You know, the way they're playing, I don't think they're playing that great. I'll say Colorado looks pretty good. I mean, they're fast and hungry. Chicago
looks great.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
year. What
and you
happened?
Got teams like you got teams that haven't played enough games. I mean, Dallas has only played 3 games. You know, they got a lot of firepower. Chicago looks good. But if you're going to hold me to 5 picks...
Your top 5 right now.
Top 5. I'm going to say Colorado, Nashville, Chicago. I can't even... I mean, I'm going to say Dallas and Calgary.
Calgary looks great.
Yeah, they look good. I know I left out 2 California teams. Or actually, all 3. I left out San Jose, LA, and Anaheim. I just...
That's right now.
I think San Jose at the end of the year is going to be one of the top teams. LA will be, I think, in the playoffs. But right now...
That's who you're liking.
I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, no, I think Colorado's got a lot of heart, and they've got a great. You know, they made the playoffs last year after the big Duchesne trade. Things turned for them when they finally had some closure on that. I think that was really holding them back.
Yeah, I mean, they look like a different team out there. Almost like they're not digging themselves out. They're starting fresh, and I think everybody came into camp this way. Like, we got something to prove, and you know, they look hungry, they look fast, they look skilled. You know, I think it's gonna be an exciting time in Colorado.
I don't know what got into Chicago. They look like a different team.
Well, I think maybe just some rest. I mean, if you think about it, over the last 8 years or 9 years, the amount of hockey their top players have played. I mean, you've got, you know, 3 Stanley Cups plus throwing a couple Western Conference Finals. Add in 2 Olympics plus World Cup. I mean, their top players have played more than any top players in the league, other than maybe Pittsburgh's guys. But I think they're just worn down. And, you know, they had early exit a year ago, didn't make the playoffs last year. And I think their guys are now just fresh.
Yeah. I mean,
and also they had salary cap problems. So try to manage around keeping your core guys together and then bringing in people to compliment them is no easy task. And they did a good job early on. You know, they had to get rid of Bufflin. They had to get rid of, like, you know, Sharp at one point. You know, they had to get rid of these guys throughout their kind of over the last 6 years, the guys that helped win the Stanley Cup. It's hard. The salary cap is hard to manage around when you're paying guys $10 million. I mean, Kane's getting 10, Taves is getting 10, Keith's getting his money, Crawford's getting his money, Seabrook's getting his money. You know, Hossa was getting his money at the time, and it all counts against the cap. So then you have a limited budget to try to fill a team that's, and usually it's the depth that'll help you get to the Stanley Cup. So they did a great job. You know, the first kind of 5 years of their run where they won 3 cups, but then I think it might have caught up to them.
Yeah, I mean, they've come out of the gates like they are fresh, and they look amazing. It's, you know, Kane looks great. He looks the best I've seen him in a few years. And, you know, and these guys are not, you know, out of the game by any, they're not old.
No,
you know,
no. I mean, the new NHL, you're old at 32, but these guys
but they're still not 32.
No, they're not 32. And I mean, these guys are going to play probably till they're 40 because they know they take care of themselves. And they don't have their goalie yet either. I mean, Crawford's not playing.
No, I mean, it looks good for Chicago. I mean, which is fun. That is a hockey town for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah, the people are crazy there. I love it.
Well, I mean, I think when we get Jason on the phone, we'll get a chance to talk about the Red Wings, I'm sure, so we can skip over that.
Do we have to? I feel like we talked for an hour about the Red Wings.
It's so painful.
I am seriously tired of the Red Wings.
I can only tell you that, and I said it on the last podcast, because I think N is a guy that Pat Brisson is managing or is representing. But he took a hit from Josh Manson the other night that scared me. I mean, I saw him, you know, Manson's tough.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
And he lays those hits on clean and hard. And N got hit by him, and he, like, I saw him stand up, and he just kind of looked around the ice a little bit, kind of bobbleheading a little bit, and he skated over to the Ducks bench. And then they said, no, you go on the other bench, and he skated over to the Red Wings bench.
Someone in Anaheim should have gave him a hug on before he sent him over.
He was like, I mean, that guy got his bells rung. I don't think he's ever been hit that hard it was a clean hit, you know, but it was brutal.
It is a contact sport.
Oh, my God, is it ever. But, yeah. I mean, that's just, I mean, I wouldn't skate down Manson's side.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You have a choice. You don't have to.
No, you don't.
Like, it's like when Stevens would kill guys, Scott Stevens back in the day, it's like you don't have to go down his side.
No.
You can dump it somewhere else and change. You know, that's the whole point of, like, when these guys, like, the mentality they have is to, like, wreck you to the point where you don't want to go down their side, and then it makes the game easy, because then you know that he's
going to go to the...
Right. You're like, I own that guy now. He's not coming down my side.
Oh, no. I mean, I didn't want to go down his side. Yeah. I was terrified, and I wasn't even on the ice. I was like,
switched
I'm not
my
going
seat to the other side.
I did. I'm going
to
move back five rows just in case. But it was like... I mean, I saw that, and it scared me. I just said, you know, that kid just got his bells rung. And Josh isn't like... You know, I think, what is he, 21 years old or something, and 22? He's a pretty young guy.
He's young still.
And he just crushes it on those hits. He did it to another guy, too, who fared a little bit better, but you could still see, like, it was a bone-crushing hit.
Yeah, he's coming into his own now. I mean, he's been in the league a few years. He's now got getting the confidence to kind of make those big hits, which it's tough when you're younger because, you know, you're worried about making mistakes sometimes, but now he knows that, you know, it's okay. I can make a mistake, so he can take a run at guys and, you know, announce his presence with authority.
that was the understatement of the day right there. I mean, it was like, you could see the guys just like, you know, he had a blank stare as he skated away. And, you know, because Chris and I have seats right next to the penalty box. So we watch a lot of defense for the Ducks, you know, two periods worth. And we like it because, you know, we like Manson and Fowler. I mean, the Ducks have, like, real defensemen. I mean, they got
really good puck-moving defensemen. Yeah.
Oh, they're so good.
They can skate and pass and shoot and rush the puck. They got really skilled D.
I think I've learned a lot about hockey watching the outlets, about how the scoring happens, because you can kind of see... You know, you can see their brains working, you know, the defensemen, and, you know, because we're right there, you know, not only do we see the Ducks guys, but we see, you know, whoever they're playing, you know, their brains really work in a different way, because the offense begins with that outlet. It is all about that.
100%. I mean, and really good defensemen, they'll wait a half a second, like lure the guy in, maybe take a hit, but then they'll make a really good pass and give the forward
space.
More time. They're creating space. Yeah. And I can't say I ever had a great year in any of the years that I've had, but anytime I had a good year playing hockey, we always had really good defensemen.
Yeah.
Like, upon reflection of my career, I came to the realization that it was the D that really made the team go.
Oh,
when
yeah.
they're putting the puck on your tape and that's how you're starting, I mean, good things happen. It's, you know, and I'm not saying that D that rim the puck, there isn't a use. I mean, you know, you need the guys that can get the puck out of the zone. But for those guys that can make the tape-to-tape pass and get guys going full speed, I mean, the less time you spend in your own end, the better. But you're on the attack way more.
Oh, yeah.
And good things happen then.
And I think that's kind of what I see early on here for the Ducks, is that their D looks pretty solid. I mean, they need to get their big stars back. They had Kessler back the other night. They had, you know, I think they're going to get Getzlaff back pretty shortly. Perry's out for the year. I mean, he's out till, you know, March or something. So that was like Jeff Carter last year for the Kings.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, at least he'll be back for playoffs. And, you know, for the Kings, it did make a bit of a difference to get Carter back. But Perry's gone until then easily. Barring any complications, by the way, like what if his rehab doesn't go well?
Right.
So I wouldn't even count on him for this.
That's probably like good to know that right now, where the team's just like, okay, we don't have him. Not like,
right.
Hey, he's coming back, it's hurt again, coming back, it's hurt again. You know, he's out. We got to, you know.
Well, Thornton's out too for the Sharks too. That was, you know, and he just had knee surgery like last, I think it was like during the playoffs last year, he blew out that knee. And now, you know, knees are brutal. It's like, you know, if that, once those ligaments are torn, for any of you that, you know, hear people say, oh, I had an ACL tear, like that's like a joint, like you now have a new joint. So whatever happened, if you tore your ACL or you tore a medial collateral or lateral collateral ligaments, a little bit different. And I'm no orthopedic surgeon, you know.
I feel like I need to go to med school for this part of the podcast.
Yeah. Listen, normally I'm talking about, you know, nose jobs, yeah. Boob jobs, and facelifts.
Right.
But listen, I did a lot of time at the hospital for special surgery because I thought I was going to do orthopedics. So when I was at Cornell in med school, I did all my research over at HSS. And I was over there with, you know, Helfit and Chitranjan Rana and all these guys who are like the top orthopods, you know, Russ Warren, who took care of the Giants, you know, so you'd always see like, you know, Lawrence Taylor or Carl Banks walking around the hallways or like, crap, you know, I got to change my line on this weekend's game.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
Carl Banks is in Weiland's office again. That's not good.
call, that's a nice little business.
Call
you
Vegas. Totally, right? Yeah. So, but these knees, when they go, like the joint is ruined. So you have to know that. And now you have to plan to build muscles around the joint, to do different things, to create a new way to support your knee. That doesn't always work out, and especially in professional sports, it may not be doable for the way that you used to play your game. So, you know, Corey Perry's got a long road to recovery.
Yeah, and I mean, and Joe Thornton, I mean, he's no spring chicken. He's played 1,500, like, regular season
games.
What is
he? He's 39 years old, right?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I feel bad. It makes me feel old because he was a rookie when I was in Boston. He was 18, and it felt like 50 years ago. And he's still playing.
Yeah. Well.
And I think, and I love that he's such a great dude. And I think he looks older without the beard.
Really?
Now that he shaved it off. Like, I'm like, I don't know how he could have kept that thing on for as long as he did. I heard the backstory, which I'm not even sure is true, that he was doing it to kind of, because his wife didn't like it. So he kept it
he kept
on.
Kept growing it.
Yeah, he just kept growing it.
Well, listen, you know, these guys can get facelifts. They're really easy. You know, in the off season, come on down. I'll keep them looking like they're 18. It's not even an issue. Because, by the way, the hockey players age a lot harder. I mean, they definitely have, their bodies take a lot more of a beating. For some reason, they definitely, I think it's just because they're up so much. And the amount of, you know, of fluctuations in their training and everything, it wears their skin out.
Maybe,
sure.
Or it could be the off-season activities. Off-season activities or when they retire, things.
Maybe. They look better after they
have more time on their hands. So, yeah.
No, I mean, some of the guys really, I mean, you see it because they look older than they are just because they play, they're awake so much, they play so hard, they go through hard training. You know, I think that really does take a toll on your body.
Well, I think it's a lot of it might be the stress of, you know, if you're a superstar or a star on your team, I mean, it's a heavy burden you carry, and I think it wears on guys. I know Chris, who looks like he's 55, my brother,
your brother,
you know, he's younger than me, but if you were to guess, he looks 55, 60, but he carried the weight of the team on his shoulders
always.
And, you know, he's a captain for a lot of those years, and you know, the buck stopped with him. And so it was weird. You know, we'd go to his house for Christmas sometimes, and I was still playing, but I was, unfortunately, never really. They're like, he's playing. Okay, great. But like, no one ever relied on me. Like, people, you know, the team, the organization, you know, leaned on him. So just to kind of see how he was at home, you know, he's not like, he just couldn't shut it off. You know, it's still weighing on him, and you could just see it that you know, kind of wanted to stay out of his way because he had to keep an. You know, it's almost like he was a method actor, and he had to stay in character. For the season, and so he was an ornery man at home. He was an ornery man on the ice. You know, he got well compensated for it, but you know, that kind of burden wears on some guys, and maybe that's why they look older.
No question. I mean, that stress is very tough. I mean, it's like you know, you see, there's a lot of doctors and a lot of lawyers who feel that way too. They just look a lot older than they are. you know, it's, you know, I just hit my 50th birthday, so.
You don't look a day over 30, I'll tell you. Someone must be doing some work on you.
They are, actually. I have a whole bunch of girls in here called the Rock Spa, and, you know, thank God for them. They iron my face on a regular basis. You know, you need that.
They just turn the screw on in the.
I'm telling you, right? Exactly.
Yeah, tighten it up.
No, we got 17 machines back there, all of which have been, you know, placed on my face at some point or another. So, yeah, I mean, there is something to be said for that. Yeah, get to your... So I guess the message is get your plastic surgery.
There you go. There you go. Shameless plug.
Well, speaking of... yeah, exactly. Well, let's get Jason in hear what he has to say. So,
yeah, I can't... I'm holding my breath.
All right, let's redirect over to Jason Berkeley.
Morning, officers. What y'all, the second team?
We're the first team.
Yeah, we're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not gonna fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
So joining us via FaceTime is the famous Dr. Jason Berkeley. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm actually in hiding right now. There's about 55 angry Kings fans with pitchforks and torches outside of my house.
Well, you did call them out a little bit.
I'm attempting to just be incognito and just kind of, hopefully they'll go away.
I think if you just wear a Kings jersey, I think problem solved.
That's true. They won't know any different.
Go out there and start yelling and chanting at the house along with them.
Just get a Kings jersey with Robitaille on the back and you're all set. Yeah.
Just wear the number he wore in Detroit.
Yeah, I liked how you turned the conversation with Pat Brisson to the fact that Luke Robitaille won a cup with the Red Wings.
Well, he did.
It's true.
That is a fact.
It is a fact. He happens to be the president of the Kings organization, but...
Oh, I understand that. But it's still a fact that he won it as a player with the Red Wings. It's the truth.
It's no denying it.
Yeah, that was an all-star team. 2002, right?
Yeah. I said it was probably one of the... They've gone through, and they said it's probably, if not one or number one or number two, but it's probably one of the top NHL teams ever comprised. So,
yeah, I believe it. It was unbelievable.
Pre-salary cap days.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, never to be done again.
What year did the cap go in?
I think 2004, 2005.
2005 was
the lock where they missed the whole season and then came in with a cap.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, that sucked. Yeah, I mean, a year without hockey is not easy.
No.
Now, I want to be very clear about something, though. I don't have any ill will towards the Kings organization, or if you're from Canada, the organization. I don't have any ill will towards the players, necessarily.
Necessarily. That's good. I like that.
Not all the players. I mean, some of the players I'm not a big fan of, but it's not that I'm completely, you know, listen, when it comes to being a hockey player, anyone who's out on the ice in a professional capacity is, in my mind, an elite athlete. And regardless of the team, I don't care who it is. It could be a Blackhawk, it could be a Penguin. That doesn't make a difference to me. They're elite athletes, and I respect them all unconditionally. So I want to be very clear about that.
Did somebody threaten you? That's all I want to know.
Are you under duress right now?
Have you gotten some dirty...
Do you have a gun to your head?
Is there somebody there that we don't know about?
I'll give you a safe word at some point.
Well, and your safe word is... Bailey.
Tap the table three times.
Well,
no, I want to be very clear about that. It's not like a blanket disdain for the whole entire team necessarily. It's one of those situations where, you know, you're around people that just don't know the game, and it's not every year I go there, I always think it's going to be different, and it just ruins my experience. And
well,
it's, you know, yeah, okay, it's a visiting team, whatever else, but it's like they're more interested, and the fans are more focused on screaming and degrading the other players and any fans of the team rather than, you know, enjoying their own team's success. And I think that's a problem.
Do you think it's just because you're 6'7" and you wear a Red Wings jersey that's larger than most people to the game?
You know what? Maybe it is. I'm sorry if that's the case. I mean, again,
there's an easier way to go to those games.
There is.
If you want to go enjoy a Kings game, there's an easier way. May I suggest a Red Wings hat,
or a Black Sabbath T-shirt? How about that?
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe Detroit Rock City shirt, something like that.
A hat can be easily stolen off my head. That's the problem with that.
Mm.
Now you're giving back to the Kings fans. Perfect.
I think that's exactly. That's the way to be. Well,
but,
we were talking about the top five teams in the West, Jason, and there was one glaring, shocking finding when you look at the standings and the early sort of performance of some of the top teams. Any idea what we were pointing at?
In the West, you said?
In the West. I'll give you a hint. They started out the season 7-1 last year, and they're not 7-1 now.
Well, are you looking at the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah, they're 1-4.
Yeah. Well, listen, we talked about this, that when you change the team and you change that little indefinable chemistry, that little ingredient that's intangible, you can't buy, you can't market it. It makes a difference. I think they're going to get it together. As we said, we've been saying they're a better team on paper, and I think even Sean said it last week that that's a fact. It's just that does that equal to wins and performance on the ice? And it's I think it's going to take a little more time for this team to gel.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think winning in the NHL is such a fine line between winning and losing right now that. If you're missing just the smallest little reason to kind of do a little bit more, like the, Vegas last year, they're coming together, guys are fighting for just that little extra. And again, they are a better team, I think, on paper. I think they will be fine. But the start of the year, they just kind of came together so quickly and probably caught people off guard. And then, they just kind of just enjoyed the success they had and kind of were having fun. I think now they're starting to squeeze their sticks. Their expectation of themselves is so high that it's a difficult situation for them to be in right now.
Well, and everybody's gunning for them. I mean, you don't think the Caps were up to just show them once again who was boss when they showed up in Washington? And of course, the Penguins got, Phil Kessel with a natural hat trick. It's like they're up for those games, It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I think we've beat that into the ground that they are not sneaking up on anybody.
Yeah, but I mean, it is just, it's really shocking. I mean, I knew they would have a hard time, but this is, it's probably not going to get any easier right away.
And I honestly think the teams are actually really gunning for them now. It's not like nobody wants to be a victim twice to a team that's rolling. And these guys have egos, you don't want to be one of those players, those teams that, consistently gets beaten by the same team, especially after last year's performance. So I think there's a lot of ego on the line right now. And I think it's playing a role too.
Oh yeah. Big time. I mean, this is, this is early, and these points are just as important as any, but they, everybody wants to start establishing where they're going to be. And as you said, you think by Thanksgiving, who's going to the playoffs.
Well, that's the marker. I mean, I've heard a million times Mickey Redmond when he does the Red Wing games, for years, they've always used that mile marker of Thanksgiving to really kind of predict whether or not you're going to be in. And I think it's time and time again, it's pretty accurate.
I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with that. I heard your I heard the podcast. I do agree that Kings fans are psycho. I think that's what you're trying to get at the last time.
Psycho's not the word.
They're passionate. They're passionate about their team. They're passionate about the physicality of hockey, and they don't take the time to kind of understand what's going on. I think that's the gist of what you were saying on the podcast.
I don't think they're psycho, but yes, I think they don't understand the game the way it's played, other than the fact a guy gets hit and a puck goes in the net. That's it. Beyond that, it's a general lack of understanding of the minutiae of the game. I think it's the best way of putting it.
So maybe what we need to do by the way, we have a massive amount of Los Angeles-based listeners to this podcast. Maybe what we need to do is do a little bit of, game analysis for people and actually talk about what is, offsides and what is, what's, icing and, just go through basics.
I feel like they should know. I mean, the team's been there for a while. They did that when, Columbus first got a team. Explain what offside, but this team has been in place, been here for a long time.
But
the reality is people have really only been following it closely for 6 years. And that's not meaning to sound funny.
Everybody loves a winner.
That's right. Yeah, it's true. They are only following for about 6 years. And remember, Los Angeles is a transitional town. People come in, they go out. You get people that come in that don't know hockey, and they become Kings fans because everyone's like, oh, you got to see a game. And so they go down there, and they don't know the rules, and they don't know how to watch a game. There's a ton of people around me that have never watched live hockey. And so, you know, maybe the Dr. Hockey podcast has to do a public service message. Every once in a while, we're just going to go through some of the basics for our listeners so that they can really get those. I mean,
like a way yeah. of giving back.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean,
if I could just say one other thing.
I mean, Michelle,
Jason,
here.
I think maybe you might be a little bit
sensitive. Do you know
sensitive,
the rules of hockey?
because you are a Red Wings fan, you were taking probably a little bit of abuse there. and you might be a little bit sensitive to the Kings fans' behavior. I'm no psychologist. I'm talking to a couple doctors.
Let's just put it this way: I'm not going back there again for a while. That's just it.
That's wise.
You can just be one of those guys that wears the Detroit Red Wings jersey when it's Anaheim against LA.
That's right.
Which I've never understood when fans do that is wearing their team's jersey.
I always love going to sporting events and making fun of people that wear a jersey that has nothing to do with either team or the actual sport. I saw a guy wearing a Houston Astros jersey at Staples the other day. How does that factor into this?
Listen, I'm one of those guys. I wore an all blacks shirt to the Ducks game one time, and they were like, really?
Did you really?
Oh, I got so railed on. They were just like, they're like, dude, you need to be up on the wrong jersey cam.
Totally. I've never understood that. Like, that's even more offside is when you're wearing the wrong sport.
From the wrong country.
But, like, you know, you got people wearing an Ottawa Senators hat or jersey to Ducks versus Dallas Stars, and it's like, I'm guessing you're from Ottawa or something. You're in town from Ottawa, and you thought, you know what, I'm gonna wear my Ottawa jersey to a hockey game.
Well, we had a wrong jersey. There was like one of the guys one night was doing the wrong jersey cam, and he caught a guy that was wearing like a Blackhawks jersey and a Ducks hat, and it's like, you can't mix and match your teams.
You gotta pick a side. Pick a side.
I mean, I will admit, though, that the New Zealand All Blacks as a shirt to the Ducks game was probably not a good choice.
Well, I think that's a cool team, though. So I think I'd actually
Super
give you a pass.
Cool.
I think I'd give you a pass on that.
I mean, I love it.
Because rugby's awesome, and that team's awesome.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
they're
it's
unbeatable.
Like, you know what? I get it. I would not give you shit for that.
Oh, there you go. All right. So, I mean, now if somebody was there wearing a Springboks shirt, I'd have an issue with that. Then I've got problems.
I don't even know what that is. It's
that's the South African team.
Okay. My extent to like rugby is like the All Blacks. That's about it.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I'll teach you about
okay.
rugby. Yeah, I played rugby all through college and
it looks fun.
In med school.
Yeah, it looks
it was
fun
right up until I tore my ulnar collateral ligament on my thumb and I'm trying to be a surgeon. Then it became less fun.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad for business.
We fixed it up. It's all good now. So, yeah, no more. That was the end of my rugby career, though. That ended it right there. Boom. So, Jason, who are your top five teams out of the West right now?
Well, I mean, I got to go with San Jose. I mean, they had a little bit of a rough start at the beginning, but I think they're probably one of the top teams. The Kings do look tough. I mean, I got to say, they look that top line. Like I said the other day, the top line of the Kings is as scary as anything out there.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent on that top line.
Yeah, I mean, I was very impressed by watching them, and it looks like they have pretty good chemistry already early on. So, I mean, they're going to be. I think definitely a team to contend with as time goes on. You know, the Ducks, I think they just have too many injuries. I don't think that's really, not much is really happening there. But, you know, I watched the game the other night, even though they lost to Toronto. But Dallas doesn't look too bad either.
No, they look good. Dallas looks like they're putting something together.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they scored four goals against Toronto, which, you know, is not an easy task necessarily with Jesse Morgan Riley on there, who, God, the guy's lights out when it comes to defenseman points already at this point. Jeez.
Well, Toronto's got a lot of firepower this year.
They got four of the top four scorers.
We will get to the East next week.
West. I would tell you one city I would not want to be in right now is in Toronto, listening to all the Leafs fans talking about their team.
Can you imagine?
I have PTSD just thinking about it. Like, I just can't even imagine. I think I saw the first game of the season, and they already had, like, it was packed outside.
Yeah,
it was
too.
Like It was like game seven of the Stanley Cup final when, you know, everybody's outside watching it. And I was just, would you people just go to a bar like an adult and watch the game?
No, they want to be outside the stadium feeling the magic. Because I'll tell you what, yeah. I do think Toronto is going to do very well this year. They've got, they were on their way, and now they've got all the reason to hit it hard.
Yeah, they've got a lot of talent. There's no question.
You know, but going back to Dallas, though, I mean, Jamie Benn had a couple really nice goals the other day.
Great player.
Sagan had really looked like he was like already in midseason form. So, I mean, they're really. I mean, I think Dallas is going to be a dangerous team if they can really get it together and make the playoffs.
Well, you know, they're not my favorite team, but I think that they are. They are looking very good. I think they've got, you know, they've got real clout, and if they can put together the, you know, the goaltending to go with it, then they could go somewhere.
Yeah, you're not going to get very far letting in six goals against a team like Toronto at this point, or any team for that matter.
No. No, I mean, goaltending is interesting this year. These guys look very shaky overall. The number of goals being scored is like crazy. And I don't know if it's just that the goaltenders are like realizing that the firepower in the NHL has gotten insane and they're just, you know, shaken by it. Or are these guys really that good, you know, early on that they're going to, that this is going to be the trend for the year?
Yeah, well, I think things typically tighten up the further you go in the season.
Sure.
I've never seen them this loose before, which is fun to watch. But, yeah, I got to imagine things will tighten up. You know, there'd be more video sessions, which is painful as a player, but you got to go through it. Yeah.
That's the M&M theory, I was talking
like,
about.
They were talking, you know, years ago or even last, they're always talking about how to get more goals into the league. And mine's like, well, don't allow anybody to do video, A. Make the nets bigger, B, and make the rinks bigger. You heard it here first.
Yeah, if the rink was a little bit bigger, you could set things up
a little more room. I mean, these guys are huge, right?
They're huge.
Like when the rink was established, you know, how the average player was like 5'9",
probably,
you know, 180 at the most. And now you get guys out there that are 6'6", you know, Chara is 6'9". The goalies are 6'5", 6'6".
The goalies are so big,
the
it's
nets
incredible.
Are the same size. Yeah. And they all cheat. You know, I know there's a, you know, my friend is the, or my old teammate and friend, Kay Whitmore, is like the goalie police for goalie gear. But, you know, they'll figure out a way to skirt the goalie police to make things fit differently and bigger, or look bigger anyway. And, you know, like Bishop? 6'7"?
Yeah.
Ben Bishop?
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't score on a goalie that was 5'2". How am I going to score on a goalie at 6'7"?
Yeah, true. Listen, Mike Vernon, when the Red Wings won the Cup with Mike Vernon, he's 5'9".
Yeah,
you know, things have changed.
It's
a different game. It's morphed a bit. I mean, but all joking aside, though, Jay and I, and I think even when Kevin was on before, we're talking. Why not just put a big giant sumo wrestler and, you know, duct tape two jerseys to the guy and stick him in front of the net? I mean, you'll never get something in front of the guy.
You know what's funny? I played with a goalie that was kind of built like that, and if I I can't imagine he's listening, but he is. Torch, I'm sorry. Mike Torchia was built like that. I don't know if you ever remember this guy. Played in the minors with him in Baltimore, and he was built like that. And somehow pucks just kind of got through him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to move a little bit.
He wasn't nimble enough.
And usually if you're that big, you're not as how do I say it right? Your conditioning level is not that high. So you tend to wear out, or you get injured. So you're not the first person to come up with that idea, but it's not as easy as just putting a big guy in there.
So Kevin, you've got the Stars, you've got Los Angeles, the Sharks. Who else?
You called me Kevin, by the way.
I'm sorry. You said Kevin, then I just was going Kevin Connolly.
It's okay. I know you long for him as opposed to me. That's okay.
That is 100% true. There's no question about it. I wish you were here, but it's too bad. So you'll have to do today. Thank you for being here, Jason Berkley. So, Jason, who are you looking at after those three?
I mean, I gotta really think about the Blackhawks.
Yeah, we like the Blackhawks. They look very good.
Well, I wouldn't say I like them.
Well, I like him as a good team.
Make sure you cut when you post this podcast. Just cut that part out.
No, we don't cut anything.
I know, but you can put in there like I like the Blackhawks and like leave it at that.
Jason Berkley said it here first.
Exactly.
I like the Blackhawks.
Fake news.
Yeah, no, that let me rephrase that.
I'm going to send that right to Ken Holland.
Are coming back, and I think they're going to have a better year this year. And I got to tell you honestly, I don't know necessarily. I don't think they play that many games, Edmonton.
No, they played two. They've only played two.
That's true.
0-2.
Yeah, so we just really can't get a flavor for how they're going to do it this year again. You know, listen, you have the best player in hockey on your team. I think that good things are going to happen. I think that they have a bounce back year this year, and I think that's going to be something different for the Edmonton fans.
Well, speaking of which, we are going to get that Mastros dinner on in November, so all the Dr. Hockey crew is going to be invited. So that's going to be the a big evening. I don't know if we'll ever see Kevin Connolly again. He may have disappeared into the into the tundra. It's true. We don't know if he's in Puerto Rico, if he's made it back to Los Angeles, but we'll catch up with him at some point. But he, you know, we do have to get that Mastros dinner. I owe at least John Blue a
no,
steak. So.
No, no.
I
no,
do.
No, don't give him a steak.
He did. He bet that steak hard. He went, and he went after my dog, too. My less than 2-pound Chihuahua, Chi-Chi.
So, I do have to mention one other team that has caught my attention. And again, it's early. We're 4 or 5 games in. But Colorado is looking pretty solid.
You know, that was one of Pronger's picks also.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're the kind of team that have a big, giant question mark every year, and I don't know if they'll be able to sustain it necessarily, but they almost got into the playoffs last year, made a good, nice run at the end, and
They did make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I think they were in the playoffs last year.
No, they made the playoffs.
They played
Nashville in the first round, right? Wasn't it Nashville, Colorado, and Colorado lost in 5 or 6, I think?
I think it was 5.
I think it was in 5,
yeah,
but they
yeah,
won
yeah,
one of them.
They made a push at the end and barely got in, but my point is I think this year they're going to have a better year. Be more consistent. I really do.
Yeah, no, they looked good. They took that one in Nashville that rocked Nashville a little bit in the early part of the playoffs, and and then Winnipeg took out Nashville, and then wound up losing to the Knights. So, yeah, I mean, the only team that you guys didn't mention that I like right now is I like Winnipeg, even though they're having a little bit of a hard time.
Don't get me wrong. Like, these picks that I picked were as of right now. Yeah, so I still love Winnipeg. There's still teams that are not in the
not playing well yet.
3 games into the season, not in the playoff picture.
No,
it doesn't mean anything.
I know, but like I thought, I was under the impression that as of today, what teams do you like?
Yeah. That's who's playing well. And that's the thing, is that it does change throughout the year because, people come back from injuries. You know, the Ducks with a Ryan Getzlaff and a Ryan Kessler and their new crew might be something. They may still make the playoffs this year.
I think they will.
I don't know how they can do it. They find a way.
Well, you think about the Ducks. They've got good puck-moving defensemen.
They do.
That can skate, and that's a lot. I mean, you don't need the big lumbering D anymore. That game's kind of, we're beyond that. You got a good goalie, a really good goalie, who just has to stay healthy. You got good puck-moving D, and you got some forwards that can get it done. So, again, the issue is just health. If they can stay healthy, they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, and that they got some good young players.
That Comtois, he may find himself staying in Anaheim the way he's playing.
Yeah, that Max Comtois looks really good. He's got some firepower. He plays well with the other guys.
He's had more breakaways in 3 or 4 games than I had in 11 years. Which I never got the passes he did, maybe, or maybe I lacked
the
speed.
Well, he's got Cam Fowler outletting him, so that's helpful.
Can't remember us.
Yeah, Cam Fowler and Brandon Montour.
I think it was the red line that threw me off.
Oh, that's right. You had the red line.
Yeah, yeah. I was held back by that red line.
2-line pass. Yeah. Remember, that was a big issue.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, not anymore.
Imagine how many more goals that Wayne in the 1980, the 1980s Oilers would have scored if that 2-line rule wasn't in there.
I would love to see if you took the technology and the rules of today and put them into, like, gave all those guys in the 80s, like the Oilers and all, like the whole league, okay, here's your skates and your sticks, and here are the new rules. I mean, it would have been a massacre. And then the goalies got to wear the 80s gear. It would have been, 25, 21. I mean, it would just have been a massacre.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It would have been a different day because there were guys, the discrepancy in the play was...
The hooking. And I mean, you watch these games, it's just the hooking and holding and clutching and grabbing.
Whole different
and then,
game.
Right, whole different game. And then, like, the equipment was different. I mean
these
can't
guys
even
now
imagine.
Are
you get the skates and
deal.
The sticks of now. I mean, it would be ridiculous with the talent and the way that like the how fast you can like go without getting held up. The Oilers, I mean, I honestly, they put 15 up a night.
Yeah, I think
I like the 2-line pass rule. I like it.
Yeah,
I think it's part of the game. I think it never should have been taken out. It's like taking out offsides in soccer or whatever else. It's part of the game, and I think that it's something that should come back. I think.
Hmm. Do you think that could happen, Sean?
I don't know. I think anything's possible, but I think the way the game is going, how fast it is, I think everybody kind of loves the new game. So I can't imagine it goes back unless they try to figure out that maybe, you know, these hits that guys take, maybe there's something to it with there's no 2-line pass, so they can get going even faster. You don't have to, you know, they're literally flying, and a guy could dump it from his own end, and you just got to be onside at the blue line, so you could be going full tilt and rock a defenseman, you know. So unless there's some sort of way they can calculate, okay, well, since this rule, we've had this many injuries, but I don't think that's the case right now. So I can't imagine that they would make the change, because I mean, I think people like, overall, I think people like where the game's going and how
sure
fast
do.
And skilled it is. I mean, it is fun to watch. I mean, I do like the odd body check thrown once in a while. I mean, that's exciting. I like that. It keeps guys honest. But I mean, you can't deny that it is a fun to watch right now. The game is
just, it's great.
So fast, so skilled, and guys are just incredibly talented.
Speaking of which, what happened today? There's like a blackout day today. There's no games today. What's that from?
Is it NBA opening night? Is that why?
Oh, maybe it is.
I'm not a basketball guy, but I just looked on my NHL app and it showed up with nothing but basketball.
Oh, really?
It happens every 38 years.
Yeah, it's like, exactly.
Where there's no night of hockey.
I was like, thank God we're doing a podcast. There's no hockey.
Is it a full moon and Friday the 13th?
Yeah, I mean, I got to go. Are you going out to the modern day game tonight?
I am not. I think I'm going to watch it on TV.
Oh, is it on TV?
I hope so.
It's already sold out. I got
to
take my son out there.
I went to the IMG game and we stood up for the whole game and it took 4 hours because the TV timeouts and the refs were trying to put on a show with the flags.
What would it be on, ESPN or something?
I think, you know what? I have it. I'll text you then.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
I think it'll be a great game.
It's going to be an amazing game tonight. So Modern Day is playing, they're playing Bosco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is like everybody on that field is going to the, going to play at USC or UCLA.
Yeah. No, it'll be, you'll see a lot of these guys playing on Saturdays.
I know. It's so true. Well, all right, Jason. Well, I appreciate you chiming in late on this Friday afternoon.
No problem.
We're going to get out and next week. I do want to let everybody know that next week is going to be 80s movies podcast. So, Jason, you're going to be challenged with some very significant 80s movie trivia and questions and by 80s movie people.
Oh, my. I might have to call in because that's my sweet spot is movies.
Oh, really?
80s
you
movies.
You got to come in. You got to come.
I know. I just don't know if I can be in Beverly Hills on Tuesday.
Well, if you can, you're welcome to be there.
I know.
But if not, we'll Skype you in.
Okay.
For sure.
I just got to be for some of the trivia. I mean, movies from the 80s and 90s, that's my kind of... If you get paid to name the movies, I'd have as much money as you.
That's good. I like that. Well, Jason, this one I put together specifically for you, so I'm really excited for it.
Well, now, see, the thing is, you put the pressure on. I haven't been given any heads up of anything or any clue. I'd like to be able to study this weekend.
Well, you know...
You got time.
You got time, man. Get out, you know, hit your Netflix. They've got the 80s movies on there.
Grab your kids, watch some
Meatballs.
16 Candles.
16 Candles.
Breakfast Club.
Absolutely.
St.
Elmo's Fire. That'd be one I'd take a look at.
Top Gun,
really?
Footloose. I mean, Rocky, what is it, Rocky 2 or 3 or 4 or all of them?
I will break you.
Yeah.
Oh, with Dolph Lundgren. Remember him? He was such a mean person.
Well, you know who's going to be in the new Creed 2 movie is he's fighting Drago's son.
Ooh, who's playing? Yeah. Who's playing Drago's son? That's the key.
I don't know.
Chris Hemsworth?
Oh,
isn't he in every movie? Well, isn't he in every movie?
He's in every film. That's true.
Him and Mark Wahlberg. One of them's got to be in it.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's going to be Hemsworth. I would go with that. Well, listen, Jason. Thanks again. Great to have you via the FaceTime phone,
Yeah, and if you could only see the setup, he's got the phone to the microphone.
I'll take a picture of it. Well, I'll put it up on the Instagram. Our Instagram, by the way, is at Dr. Hockey Podcast. There is a YouTube channel. I think it's youtube.com/Dr. Hockey or Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm not sure which one, but check both. And then our Twitter is at Dr. Hockey Podcast. But we have 80s movie night, so tune in. You may want to tune in live for that one because this is going to be a goodie. I'm really excited.
Sounds awesome.
Cool.
Now the pressure's on. I'm nervous. I gotta figure out what movies to watch. Like I said, I'm going to probably go with Private Lessons.
Ooh.
Right into Spring Break, and then possibly top it off with Stripes.
Oh.
And maybe Trading Places.
If Stripes isn't part of the deal, then I can't be part of this because that's one of the all-time greats.
Well, we're going to have lots of activities. First of all, there's going to be First, we got to do the 80s hockey movies because there were some goodies.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with those. Then we'll get into the 80s films. Then we're going to have some guests.
Only one that matters. It's Youngblood.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What's the other one? Is there any other ones?
The Mighty Ducks movies, right?
Oh.
Was that late 80s? Yeah, because then the team came after the movie.
Yeah, that was like
or
a train.
Slapshot 5, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Slapshot 3 with one of the Baldwin brothers, right?
That's right. It was.
That's right.
We're pulling that up because you guys are 80s movies experts. Right. That's why we're doing the show. And we will have some hockey fans who are there who were in 80s movies.
Slapshot 3 went right to Beta, I think. It's Betamax. So you got to get it. The first thing, you got to rent a Betamax player.
That's true.
And then find some Betamax tapes.
But Slapshot was a 70s movie.
Yeah, that was not an 80s.
Yeah, we can't go. Yes. We can't go the.
You could just do it anyway as a bonus question or something.
I think Slapshot trivia is always fair game on a hockey podcast.
Yeah, if you don't know, you shouldn't be allowed back on.
There you go. Watch your Slapshot, everybody. You go to the box.
Yeah.
You feel shame. Then you go free. All right. Well, listen, I want to sign off now, and you have a good night, Jason. Thanks, Sean Pronger, for coming on, and we'll catch up with you guys next week. This is the Dr. Hockey Podcast, signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
DrinkAid is the best tasting and most effective way to help prevent hangovers. It's the fastest growing hangover prevention beverage in the U.S. and helps neutralize toxins created by alcohol, restores vital nutrients, and rehydrates the body with electrolytes. Take one 3.4-ounce bottle before or while drinking, or even after a workout to feel great the next day. Key ingredients include potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids. It's not only sugar-free, but it's gluten-free, low-calorie, and it tastes great. Skeptical? Check out all the incredible reviews on Amazon, which I have, and they are incredible. It's available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC, Vitamin Shoppe, as well as BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, and all the hottest casino resorts in Vegas. And, of course, on Amazon.com and DrinkAid.com. That's DrinkAide.com. Use the promo code HOCKEY, HOCKEY, to get 25% off your first order of DrinkAid.com.